Oh, church, what a beautiful song. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. If that ain't nothing but the truth, I don't know what is. Amen? Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, I want to use the theme, do you have great faith? Do you have great faith? Well, what is your definition of great faith? Or what does faith consist? Well, church, an enthusiastic preacher was urging his congregation to become more active in church affairs and to get the church on its feet and moving. And he says, brothers and sisters, what this church needs is the energy to get up and walk. And one of his elders said, let her walk, brother. Let her walk. And the preacher raised his voice a little and he said, but we cannot be satisfied with walking. We gotta pick up speed and run. And that same elder shouted and he said, let her run, preacher, let her run. And the preacher was really getting into his message now, and he said, but running, it's not enough either. One of these days, this church has got to fly. And again, the elder said, let her fly, brother. Let her fly. Let her fly. And the preacher then said, but if this church is going to fly, we are all going to have to work harder and give more money. And then the elder said softly, let her walk, brother. Let her walk. In other words, church, there is no such thing as a correspondence course for swimming. If you want to swim, you got to get in the pool. Faith requires getting wet. Amen. If we can find what the Lord Jesus calls great faith, or we can find it, if we look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, you see, a Roman centurion came to Jesus seeking help. And he said to Jesus, only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Wow. Jesus marveled at this man by saying, I have not found such great faith, not even in all of Israel. Now that is an example of what Jesus defines as great faith. In other words, faith is that gift of God by which we receive God's gift of salvation. Now, what insights do we gain from this example? Well, let us first consider our gospel text this morning. A foreign woman came to Jesus to request help for her demon-possessed daughter. And despite of all the efforts to discourage her, she persisted until Jesus complimented her great faith and fulfilled her request. The question that is in front of us this morning is, do we have great faith? Faith can be called the heart of life. For an example, you go to the doctor, right? Whose name you can't pronounce. He gives you a prescription you cannot read. You take the prescription to a pharmacist you have never seen. He gives you medication you do not understand, and yet you take it. Now that's faith. You see, church, great faith is being humble. A faith unto salvation must be in humility. Remember what the centurion said to Jesus? He said, I am unworthy to have you come into my house. The Syrophoenician woman accepted the label dog as indicating her status relative to the Hebrew people. Now that is humble, church. That's real humble. You know, someone call you a dog, you better look out. But I may be wrong with that assumption, because in my day, when someone called me a dog, they're attacking me. But now I'm hearing some people calling themselves dog as a level of status today. You remember, like, oh, what's up, dog? Huh? Oh, he's my dog. That's my dog. Or how about you, dog, you? I'm still trying to get it, bro. But we are talking about being before the Almighty God. We're talking about repenting and accepting our punishment. We all know we are wrong. We know we have sinned. Except Donald Trump. Jesus Christ is calling us dog, not to humiliate us, but to show us our sin. Jesus proclaimed in his very word, he said, therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Amen. You see, church, humility before God is important because it will cause our faith to be sincerely directed to him in obedience. Just as our Lord was. Remember what that Jesus was very humble. It says in Philippians 2:8, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our faith must imitate that of the centurion as he bowed himself in humility before the Lord in intercession for another. It must imitate that of the woman who even accepted the insult of being called a dog. In order to obtain her request from the Lord for her daughter. God has always connected humility to obtaining blessings from him. You see, in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, God says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Our land is messed up, church. There's confusion everywhere. And who is the author of confusion? Do anybody know?
Satan.
Oh, yes, he has a name, and it starts with an S. Satan. Yes, a little S. I ain't giving him no props. Oh, church, great faith is also trust the power of God. A faith that saves cannot be one that denies the power of God to work his part in salvation. God has shown us his love, church. and desire for our salvation. What does Romans chapter 5 verse 8 say? In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The centurion's faith would not have been commended as great faith except that it trusted God's ability to do whatsoever he chose. The scriptures over and over emphasizes how we should trust in God. Amen. The opposite of faith is doubt. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And then the Apostle James comes back and he says in James 1:6, he says, but let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Another thing about great faith is persistence. Did you notice that the woman was persistent in her asking? That she was not easily turned aside, not even by the appearance of insults. She loved her daughter. Jesus directly praised the persistent woman for having this quality. Church, there's another story also emphasizing the importance of persistence. Listen to this. This is Luke 11, 5 through 10. And it says, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and he says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing to set before him. And then the one inside, he answers, he said, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you though, he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, but yet because the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. A great faith is fruitful, church. Both cases before us had the results that they desired. Will God do less for us here at United Lutheran Church? No. If we are about our Father's business, will he not give us the things we need to accomplish our goal? He has to, because it is his very nature to reward faith and love that trust in him to do it. Oh, church, many times in the Bible, Jesus complimented people on their great faith. You remember the paralytic man in Mark chapter 2, 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic son, he said, son, your sins are forgiven you. To the 10 lepers in Luke 17, 19, Jesus said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Jesus taught that great faith has capabilities of great things. Remember in Matthew 17:20, Jesus taught that if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you shall say to a mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Another thing about great faith is active. and not passing. The centurion had to go to Jesus in the first place, and so did the woman. We have to go to Jesus, church. We have to bow the knee and call upon Him and tell Him our problems. We have not because we don't ask, right? Amen. So why are you holding all that back? When are you going to let it go? You have the door. Knock on it and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here at your door. Let me in. How many have done that? Oh, I need to see more hands than that. So you know what that means? That means you need to get on your knees and ask God to forgive you. Amen. You really don't need to take communion until you call upon Him and say, Lord, I'm ready. You know, I done figured it out. I can't straighten my life out by myself. I've been trying and I've been trying. And I'm still messed up. So, I'm sorry. See, all you gotta do is bend that knee. I know it hurts, huh? Then I'm down there and say, Lord, I love you. Forgive me. Please forgive me. But I need your help. I need your help. I've been trying to do it by myself. And I'm almost there, but I can't get there because I can't get there. And I need you to take me to all the way.
Amen.
Can you do that?
Yes.
Huh? Can you do that? You gotta be humble. You gotta let yourself go. Because self ain't been doing it right. And He loved you so much. He loved you so much, He took those nails. He took that bead. And He did it for you. So bow your heads and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I've done wrong, but what did Jesus tell all of those who have sinned? He said, go and sin no more. And that's all we have to do. And believe that. Faith is believing that it's going to be done. When that centurion said, Lord, just say the word, and I know it's done. And that's all you got to do, is say, Lord, say the word, and I know it's done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So if you believe that, stand with me right now and let us recite the Nicene Creed on page 6 in your program together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sin.
And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be